This is Jay Sekulow. How will we fix the Obama administration's failure in Iran?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
In these first days of 2018, nowhere is the urgency of peace, security, and freedom being more tested than in Iran. By the thousands, Iranian citizens are taking to the streets to protest the oppression of their own government.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The president said it's time for change in Iran. Did he mean in leadership or in policy or both?
I think, again, the biggest thing is the change would be that the people of Iran have basic human rights, which their government is frankly not allowing them to have at this time, and certainly in large part stop being a state sponsor of terrorism.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
This is actually Logan Sekulow, only hosting for you for just a segment here, as my dad was just called out on an important situation that seems to happen around here these days as news and things break. But we are discussing today again somewhat the situation happening in Iran. You're seeing the protest kind of go back and forth today. Some of that is political theater, and we'll talk a little about that today as well. But also, we are breaking down, if you've seen the title, if you're joining us on Facebook or Periscope, you've seen it's How We Will Fix the Obama Administration's Iran Failure. And Dr. Andy Economo is with us today. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. One of the ways we all fix it is to support what is happening in Iran today on behalf of those people. Grassroots people who are sick and tired of the being ruled by the clerics, being terrorized by the Iranian guard, by the mullahs, and not having a standard of living that was accorded to them under the Shah, and having to live in these terrorist conditions.
We said this is almost a ripple effect that's happening now around the world. You could almost draw some of these conclusions in these topics that are happening around the world, even back a couple of years ago, starting with, if you hear their talking points, similar to even what happened in the Western world, somewhat with Brexit, with Trump, and then eventually moving its way to the Middle East, where now we see things like this potential for a revolution that is happening in the streets. And we see them, you know, saying we're done with terrorism, we're done supporting all of these things because they're dying in the streets.
That's right.
You're dealing with, not necessarily, I think there is some confusion. Yes, they're done with having to be the supporters of, you know, sort of the villains of the world. But it's also that these people are dealing with extreme poverty from a nation that just 40 years ago, if you meet people in your community that are from Iran, I know our producer, Will, his wife worked at a hair salon. But these are not what you think of as today's modern Iran. These are people that are the most sophisticated, nicest. It is a, like you said, it was an empire.
It was. The Persian Empire rivaled the Eastern Roman Empire, the Roman Empire, and I think we need to take some lessons from history that are, we're not talking about an Arab population. We're talking about Persians. This is not to disparage the Arabs. No. It's not what I meant, but I'm saying they were an empire on their own, and today there's exploding food prices, unemployment, dissatisfaction with a corrupt plutocracy, and the incompetence of the so-called supreme leader, and has sparked the most significant protests in 8 years, rocking Iran.
Absolutely. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. That's at 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your voice heard, get your comments in on social media. We're broadcasting live video and audio on Facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope, and Twitter @JaySekulow. But joining us in the studio, Jay Sekulow.
So also, let me tell you what we have coming up after this hour today. We've got a 30-minute special that we're going to air on Facebook and Periscope. It's come right when you're on air. It'll come right to you. It's going to be continuous. And it's on Iran, specifically on exporting of terrorism and the role that Iran plays.
Yeah, so even if you're not watching online right now, I encourage you to log on after the radio show. Immediately following, it'll be a 30-minute presentation special. Excerpts from our film, The Export, it's really timely and really connects with what we're doing. If you want a little bit deeper understanding from some of the people that have lived it, that's going to be coming up immediately following the show at the top of the hour.
All right. Also, again, we've also got the Palestinian Authority put on notice by the president. You don't go to the peace tables to talk. You don't get U.S. money. Talk about that, too. A lot to talk about. 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls as soon as we get back. 1-800-684-3110. A lot to talk about.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So we look at the failures of the Obama administration and what we do to fix it. Let's talk about the failures quickly. The whole Iran deal and giving Iran $1.5 billion was a disaster. At the same time, we know that not backing up the previous protest movement in 2009, the so-called Green Movement, was also a disaster. Failure of policy. Why in the world did we not support those that were actively trying to bring liberty, freedom, and democracy to their country? You need a million people on the streets in Tehran, and our administration basically said, stand down. And then you have, of course, we just talked about before the break, Operation Cassandra, where the DEA was ready to pounce on Hezbollah, grab their assets so they could stop funding money, and the Obama administration stops the prosecutions or stops the investigations of Operation Cassandra, which was Hezbollah working with drug cartels and doing money laundering. Three major failures. But what we have to look at here, and by the way, let me, before I get to Harry on this, Andy, how significant are those failures?
They're very significant. I mean, think about it. What we have done is we had a state, a nation that sponsors terrorism, Iran, okay? President Obama decides that what we've got to do is we've got to support this nuclear deal with Iran to prevent them from getting a nuclear bomb. So what we do is we buy them off. They extort from us $1.5 billion, but the price of that is even worse because it derails Project Cassandra, which is something we didn't know about, but now the ACLJ is on to that. We have 8 Freedom of Information Act requests out to government agencies. Here was a project that was going on, Jay, for 8 years,
yep,
and found that Hezbollah was engaged in drug, narcotics activity, sponsoring that kind of activity, but we derail that project in the name of legacy.
All right, so we know that that policy is a disaster, and we've got Freedom of Information Act request, basically 8 of them out. We'll go to court if necessary to find out what happened. But let's talk about what we can do. Concrete steps. We posted that. We tell you we don't just talk about the problems here. What can now be done in Iran? So, Harry, we've now issued a policy statement on Iran. Let's go through that.
Absolutely. So first, I would start with the following proposition, that one of the Obama administration's most important failings was its failure to understand that the difference between moderates and hardliners was indeed a distinction without a difference.
Yeah, I always said the difference between the moderate and the truly, what they, you know, with, I'm not talking about real moderate, and I'm not talking about reformers. I always said that when they were the moderates and the terrorists, the fundamentalists, was patience. That was the differential, but go ahead.
Absolutely. So in light of all of these failures, we have put forward 5 recommendations. They include creating a bipartisan effort to support the Iranian people. I believe it's time for a bipartisan consensus to emerge to join with President Trump's courageous support for the Iranian people. And we should ignore the elite opinion formers who are out there, the so-called experts, who told the American people essentially to stand down with respect to the 2009 Green Movement.
Susan Rice and Hillary Clinton are still out there basically advocating the same position.
Absolutely. And they are still wrong. They were wrong in 2009. They are wrong today.
Okay, before we get to the next point, but the fact of the matter is we know this, that the reason that they didn't, they had them stand down, what Harry just said, stand down the Green Revolution, was because they were already working on the Iran deal, Harry. I mean, Andy.
Yeah, and we know that they altered documents or altered tapes to try to show that they were not. So, I mean, it was a fraud. They've perpetrated a fraud on the American people. So, they were cutting a deal, and they didn't want us to know that they were cutting a deal.
So we're talking about it at the macro level, but, Logan, at the micro level, too, when they really did edit out a tape to get the dates out.
That's right. You know, this was something that was very specifically done, meticulously done.
Yes.
You know, it had to be someone actually physically went in there and did this editing of that tape. And they tried to cover that up as well, though, you know, the American people have a phone with an iMovie on it. They know what an edit looks like.
Yeah, and we were able to find out from our Freedom of Information Act litigation exactly what happened there. All right, Harry, next.
Second, consistent with mounting evidence of Iran's failure to comply with the Iran nuclear deal, the current administration should once more decertify the Iran nuclear deal on January 11th, 2018, and in addition should reimpose sanctions on Iran and develop new and targeted sanctions aimed at the mullahs and the elites within the Iranian hierarchy. Third, consistent with President Trump's September speech before the United Nations, we favor a new Iranian government, a Persian government.
A regime change.
Absolutely.
Right. This regime is not capable of self-correcting.
Absolutely not. And so consistent with the principles that he offered in September, we suggest that the new Persian government be entitled to choose its own form of government, but it should not try to impose its values on other countries. So it's important to recognize that the current Iranian regime believes in Sharia, and they believe in imposing Sharia by force.
Yeah, exporting
it's an authoritarian political ideology connected to a theocracy.
Okay,
so we should discourage the formation of a new Persian regime.
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
That would support the theocrats, okay, the mullahs.
So this is a fundamental point here. Now, Andy, you've studied historically the region, and the Persian Empire, as you and Logan were talking about earlier, was was competitive with the Roman Empire.
It was our competitors. I say ours because I see myself as a Greco-Roman inheritor, but it was our opponent, and we fought against them. And this was beginning in the 6th and 7th centuries. We had this great empire to the east of the Roman Empire, great culture. And of course, this predated the Roman Empire. I mean, this was the Greeks fought against the Persians in ancient times. So the Persians were a tremendous cultural force. And what did they dwindle to today? A theocracy of mullahs suppressing their people so that the people
can't even
buy a dozen eggs,
right,
is what they said. Their basic foodstuffs, they can't buy gas for their cars.
So we're calling for a complete regime change. Let's go back through 1, 2, and 3 very quickly here. One is?
A bipartisan consensus that supports the Iranian people.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, we favor decertification of the Iran nuclear deal, the reimposition of sanctions.
That could be coming up as early as January 10th and 11th. Okay.
Number three, we favor regime change.
Yep.
And then number four, we argue that the new Persian government should immediately and unconditionally remove its troops from foreign theaters. That means Syria. That means Lebanon. That means the Yemen. It means the entire Middle East.
Well, they are calling for it. I mean, the protesters on the street are saying no to Gaza, no to Hezbollah, no to Syria. They want out. I mean, because billions of dollars of assets of the Iranian people are going out the door to these other terrorist regimes while their people, as Andy just said, can't buy bread.
That's absolutely correct. So the current regime promised the Iranian people that if the nuclear deal was agreed to, that this would provide rich benefits for the Iranian people. That was simply an illusion. In essence, the military and the mullahs have enriched themselves at the expense of the population.
Yep.
29% of Iranian people are unemployed.
Yep.
40% of Iranian youth are unemployed.
Yep. It's a recipe for disaster.
Prices are exploding, and yet we have an Iranian nuclear deal that was grounded in an illusion, first to the Iranian people and secondarily to the American people by the Obama administration.
Okay. So that's the basics of our plan.
Correct.
So here's what we're doing. We're getting that to Capitol Hill because I do think the bipartisan nature of this is absolutely critical. Let's go ahead. Well, we don't have time for a call.
Be a quick call. Let's hold that up. A lot of people are commenting, though. Maybe you can take one of these comments. Cecil said, now that you have a policy statement concerning Iran, what do you do with it?
Okay, so it's a great question. So first of all, it's up at aclj.org, so we encourage you to get there. I'm sure it'll be posted on our social media sites as well. That's number one. Number two, Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, will now share that across the political aisle. So we'll get this position statement distributed in Washington. So people will focus on the fact that this does need to be bipartisan. We do need sanctions. We do need to see a regime change. So all of that's going to happen, and we will get that out. And we'll also do that on international tribunals. And that's happening at the same time that there's discussions at the UN right now on a lot of these issues going on. So we're going to get that to Nikki Haley's office as well. I'm sure we'll get that up there this afternoon. So that's what we're going to do with the policy statement. As I said, at the ACLJ, we don't just talk about these issues. We develop policies and then seek to implement them. And then, Andy, in 20 seconds here, we're also seeking information as what happened with the Obama administration and then Operation Cassandra.
That's exactly what we're looking at in our Freedom of Information Act request, which is to Justice, Treasury, the State Department, and all these other agencies. We want to know, why did you derail Cassandra? Why did you derail an 8-year project that was designed to derail Hezbollah?
Yeah, and we're going to get the answers to all that. When we come back from the break, more of your calls, 1-800-684-3110. More analysis as well, 800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow sitting in for this segment for my dad. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. We're obviously talking about the situation in Iran, and we actually have sort of our own game plan, and I kind of want to go through a little bit of that for you. First, or is this from us? Well, this is our statement here. Yep, sorry, let's make sure I got a lot of papers in front of me, people. Make sure I picked up the right one. First, we call for a bipartisan effort to support the Iranian people. There's a paragraph. You can read all this online. Second, consistent with the mounting evidence of Iran's failure to comply with the Iran nuclear deal, the current administration should once more decertify the Iran nuclear deal on January 11th, 2018, which is the next 90-day deadline specified under the statute. Third, consistent with President Trump's speech before the United Nations in September of this year, Americans should not expect diverse countries to share the same cultural traditions of our system of government. And fourth, consistent with the third principle, a new Persian government must immediately and unconditionally remove its troops and terrorist proxies from Syria, Lebanon, and other in the Middle East, immediately cease support of Hezbollah and other terrorist organizations, and stop collaborating with the rogue regime in North Korea. And fifth, consistent with the notion of universal human rights, the new Persian regime must respect the rights of its people to be free from terror imposed by the members of government. And that is what we are seeing in the streets of Iran today. I'm joined by the whole panel is here today. But we're going to actually take some comments and some phone calls as well. And let's kick it off with one of those. Let's go to Victor in New York on line one. Victor, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Jordan, listen, your father works in the Lord's favor. God bless you and him and the family. I just want to make this quick comment, and I really want you to think about this, Jordan. The president has the golden opportunity to grasp the situation in Iran by speaking to the people, calling a news conference, speaking to the Iranian people directly, and going through all these steps that what he sees, you know, for them in the future, and they would grasp onto that. It would get to them through all the media, through the web, through TV, Victor. No matter what it is, it would be important.
Well, as I kind of said, Victor, it's kind of what we're seeing in some ways. We're seeing this sort of ripple effect, as I've said, from what's been happening. Media in Iran, the internet, it's not exactly on great terms, as we've seen, but some people have been able to break through. But I think you're right. And we're seeing that sort of bipartisan support. Mm-hmm. And we are joined again by everybody. I don't have to introduce everyone, but by Andrew Conimo, Harry Hutchinson, by Wes Smith. Everybody's here today. So, Wes, you were there. Mm-hmm. You've dealt with these situations kind of before. When you hear this type of rhetoric coming from people on the streets, what is our chief should do in this situation?
Yeah. I think that the president should basically do much with his national security advisors, what we are doing here at the ACLJ. And of course, we're sending some of our ideas and proposals forward. And that is to not just voice general support for the demonstrators in Iran, but to articulate this is what the U.S. would like to see happen, and that we stand in solidarity with all those who love freedom and justice in Iran. So even though they control a lot of their media, some of that message would still get through, but it would be helpful if the administration articulates step by step, this is what we want to see happen, and here's what we're willing to do to try and make that happen.
Yeah, I think people are getting confused a little bit with what happened in the Arab Spring. What happens now is this sort of a continuation of it, and we've seen a little bit more of a bipartisan support. We've seen a lot of people who go, no, this is the right revolution. This is the one we've been waiting for.
It definitely is, and the theocratic regime since 1979 has been awful to the people of Iran. They are brutal. Their Revolutionary Guard Corps is not only a military force, they are a secret police force, and they control commerce and industry. Part of the reason that some of the social media has been shut down in Iran the last 24 to 48 hours, the social media and the state media and all of that is controlled by the Revolutionary Guards.
Yeah.
And so they're the ones shutting it down.
Yeah, and people are asking for statements. Obviously, here's a statement we should play. Bite 8, it's from Nikki Haley. Take a listen.
The UN must speak out. In the days ahead, we will be calling for an emergency session, both here in New York and at the Human Rights Council in Geneva. We must not be silent. The people of Iran are crying out for freedom. All freedom-loving people must stand with their cause.
That's a great statement that came out, obviously, from Nikki Haley. We have a call kind of related to that question from Kit from Albuquerque, New Mexico, online too. Kit, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, hello.
Hi.
I'm very happy to be invited to this. Thank you. So the part that I'm concerned about is the bipartisan support.
Sure.
And it's hard for us to balance how we can support the Iranian people and at the same time not go too far and take over, be too pushy with our U.S. support. And so I'd like to kick that notion around a bit.
Okay.
I think that right now we don't get bipartisan support. The Iranian deal, I mean, the Iranian situation might help us break through our own internal barriers when it comes to our own government. But this is a subject that interests everyone, and it interests the whole world.
Right.
So it makes sense. How do we balance that bipartisan support that we're experiencing now?
Okay, so kind of break down your question a little bit here. Comic sort of related to, in general, the bipartisan support. Are you meaning from within Iran and us, or are you talking about within American politics in general?
Both, really.
Both. Okay. So we are actually seeing a pretty good bipartisan support of this issue. This is something that everyone is kind of, there's not a whole lot of people on social media right now you're seeing from the government being like, we're against the protests happening in Iran.
I think that's correct. I think what President Trump has done is that he has favored the Iranian people, and that move is consistent with the aspirations of the American people, and this has drawn bipartisan
right.
support. By contrast, President Obama emphasized expert opinion, the so-called elites.
Right.
Well, we now know that the protests have exposed the foreign policy inexperience of the Obama administration. And it is now clear that Mr. Trump, the supposed foreign policy infant, clearly understands far better than Mr. Obama and the so-called
right.
arms control sophisticates the situation
sure.
in the world.
And
so I think that advances bipartisan consensus.
And back to the caller's question, we're not attempting to impose Jeffersonian democracy
right.
on Iran.
We're not going into Iran.
No, we are calling for the people there to be free and to throw off this oppressive religious ruler and to be free.
And I'll read this full statement actually probably after the break, but I'll read a little bit of it now. This is actually a written statement from Senator Ben Cardin, Democrat, Maryland. He said, as protests in Iran continue, I support the legitimate desires of the Iranian people for dignity and fundamental freedoms, economic opportunity, and a government that is responsive to its citizens. The ability to peacefully protest is a universal right, and I applaud the courage and commitment of Iran's citizens across the country who have taken to the streets for reform despite the risk of violence and government-directed repression. That is, again, from a Democrat, from Ben Cardin. So this is not a partisan issue, folks. This has moved beyond that, and we want to hear your voice and your opinion. We are headed out of our first half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. You can give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in. Not all stations carry the full hour of Jay Sekulow Live, but you can make sure you get it by going to facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope and Twitter at Jay Sekulow. Download the ACLJ app. Subscribe to the Jay Sekulow Live podcast. A lot of options you can to continue to listen to this show. And also, at the end of the show, in another half hour, you're watching online, or if you log on overline, we're going to play a special 30-minute cut of our film, The Export, all about this situation in Iran. You're not going to want to miss that. That's on Facebook Live. It's at facebook.com/JaySekulow. We'll be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow sitting in for my dad. For part of the show today, you'll hear him pop on. We also, to kind of reset the situation going on, if you're just tuning in, we're dealing with everything that's happening in Iran, from the former administration, the Obama administration's kind of failures with their policy, as well as what's happening right now in the streets, if you're not following it. You know, I will say this, you know, when these kind of world events happen, my social media is often dominated. I don't see that much going on. I think people in the political spectrum, people that are very connected are seeing it, but the typical human rights friends of mine aren't necessarily, I'm not seeing a ton of sharing, a lot of following. So I don't know if it's just because some of the images, there's not a ton to see yet. There's not, I mean, there's obviously uprising in the streets, but the way social media has been shut down, it's a little bit different than the last time when we had the Arab Spring. I don't know if that is a bipartisan issue. I don't know if that is one of those things that a hurdle people are going to have to call. We had a caller a little bit ago that was saying, you know, how are we going to get over our bipartisanship with this kind of thing? Well, in the government, they are. We are hearing these statements, like what I read just a little bit ago from Senator Ben Cardin, Democrat from Maryland, full support of the people on the streets in Iran, as well as our President Donald Trump, full in support of the people in the streets. Now we have to kind of turn back to the people of our country as well to say there are things that are beyond politics. As I've kind of said around here some, that we've kind of never left on social media an election year mentality. It's been a very divisive 2017. Now heading into 2018, it's time we need to kind of get together. These are one of those things where we are seeing our government get together. We are seeing people together, but we need to make sure people know what's happening and how we can't kind of retread what has happened before and what led us here. So maybe whoever wants to take this, how did we get here? How did we get in a couple minutes with the Obama administration's policy to where the people decided we need to do this?
Good question.
Yeah.
I know. Gary Bernstein, who is a retired CIA station chief, was on Fox News and talking about his experience in 2009 when you had the Green Movement in Iran and how the Obama administration really left them hanging, dangling in the wind. And he says, and he was still a CIA station chief at the time, that they received orders from the Obama administration through the CIA that they were to have no contact with any of the protesters. They were to have zero contact from our intel sources in the region. What's different this time is that we have not only the moral support of the Iranian demonstrators, we have the administration saying we support them. And there is a lot going on that we don't know, some of which we will never know. But I can almost guarantee you that our sources and our resources in the area are engaged because of who President Trump is.
Yeah, and we're seeing that now, like I said, bipartisan kind of swing. And it's a little bit refreshing as we see the people take to the streets, that we see people coming from both sides.
Harry. I think that's correct. And it's also important to note that many middle-of-the-road journalists, like Brett Stevens of the New York Times and Eli Lake of Bloomberg, they have voiced support for what President Trump is now doing. And so many of those analysts are suggesting that it's time to ditch the voices of so-called expert opinion, the so-called arms control sophisticates that got us in this mess in the first place. And it's important to remember that we've got the problem with We have problems with this Iran nuclear deal in part because it was grounded on video deletions, fabrications, and outright lies, both on the Iranian side and on the U.S. side. Yeah. And as I said yesterday, some of these chickens are coming home to roost, and it is nice to see virtually everyone begin to recognize that.
Right. As we head into a break, Andy, you kind of said this before. You know, my lifetime, we have not seen an Iran that most people, the rest of the thousands of years, have dealt with.
No, we
And I
not.
Think that's so different. People don't realize 40 years ago, you know, the 70s, this was a different nation.
I do. I remember the Shah. I actually remember the Shah and the fall of the Shah in 1979. Sure. And now a lot of Iranians are saying, rest in peace, Shah or Pahlavi. In other words, there may be a segment that is looking for a constitutional monarchy
or
to return to the
country.
Something.
They're looking for something
other than what they've got.
Absolutely. We are going to break right now. If you're watching online, you're going to get exclusive video. And again, at the top of the hour, we're going to play a full 30-minute special called The Export that we did just for you guys today and edit specifically for those watching on social media. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Again, this is Logan Sekulow with a full panel of guests in today. Our standard panel is here. Dr. Andrew Cotton, Harry Hutchinson, Wes Smith. Everybody's here. If you're familiar with the show, you know all of these voices. As we discuss, and my dad will be back at some point within the show, as we discuss this situation happening in Iran, you know, it kind of almost couldn't happen at a worse time for Americans to really know what's happening, because it happened over the holidays. We're seeing this. I think a lot of people don't even know that this is going on. And if you're a listener to this show, obviously you do. You're in touch with what's happening. But I can tell you from my social media, which is not necessarily all full of political junkies or people that spend their time watching the news 24/7, I don't know if they're aware of this. And we kind of said this earlier, what can you do? And is what we can do for these people that are out in the streets protesting for their lives, they're saying no to Hezbollah, no to all of these situations, not only because they're against the terrorism, the Islamic State, things that have oppressed them as a people, but that's really why. It's not necessarily, I mean, yes, it is that they are against, in principle, this, but also funding this and taking money from the farmers who are sitting there starving.
Yeah, they're sending money to prop up the Assad regime. They've sent over $1 billion to Syria to prop up their government while their people are going in need. They send, you know, $1 billion to Hezbollah to support their military, and on and on. And we don't know all that's going on right now because we have limited news feeds out of Iran. However, we do know that Fox News is saying the violence increased overnight. What Iran is reporting, and I find this so interesting,
very interesting,
are pro-government demonstrations. Mm-hmm. And yet, if you read a little bit about Iran, the business community in Iran is controlled literally by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. They issue the business licenses. They control the production plants, the banking system. And so when they tell, quote, their employees, you will go out today will demonstrate on behalf of the government, you go. And so those pro-government demonstrations are totally disingenuous.
I think that is a point we need to kind of bring up, is when you think of the protests in the streets, maybe you're drawn back to what happened in our own country last year. Not the same situation, because most of those people are not fearful for their lives when they're protesting a political regime. This is something that you go out there and you are risking your lives, your family's lives, and really the safety of your nation when you decide to start a revolution. I mean, that is the closest way you can think about it. For those who've seen films and documentaries and think about like the French Revolution, this is what we're talking about. The people taking to the streets because they have no food, they have no water, they have no way to survive. And that's what we're seeing right now in Iran. But we're seeing is the American people and a lot of the world coming around and supporting this movement.
That's a good observation, Logan, to make with the French Revolution, because when, and that's just 1789, 200 and some years ago, what happened is you have you had the luxurious lives of the French monarchs, and the people were deprived of the most fundamental things, bread. And then Marie Antoinette, in that famous statement, laughing at them, saying, the people want bread, we'll let them eat cake. Well, she got her reward for that by being taken to the guillotine. But the same idea appears today in Iran. You have a country with tremendous wealth, tremendous talent, brilliant people, a tremendous culture and civilization to boast of, who can't even buy a dozen eggs, who can't buy bread to feed their children, who can't get the basic necessities and the fundamentals of life. And the mullahs who are living, as Harry has pointed out very in the paper that he wrote, which I think is excellent, the corrupt mullahs who reportedly live in luxury, that regime has to come to an end, and we have got to support it, not take this Hillary Clinton approach that she tweeted out the other day, that I hope the government gives them what they want, and then what do you mean that the government gives them what they want? That government needs to go is what it needs to do.
And we're seeing that with, I mean, people kind of, maybe in their heads, you don't understand. I've never been to Iran, personally, I can't say that. But if you think of it, you can't think of it as a traditional Middle Eastern country. You think of Tehran, it is New York. It is a giant, I mean, not to that level, but it is a giant, big city. Google it. Google image Tehran. I guarantee you, if you're not familiar with the situation, this is not what you're expecting when you think of what maybe a Middle Eastern crisis, when you see things like in Gaza or in the West Bank or in Jordan or any of these. This is a major capital. This was, like you said, 40 years ago, was an unbelievable nation that my generation has only read about.
Yeah, ultra modern, ultra educated, very sophisticated. This is their history up until just, you know, 40 years ago.
Right, till late 70s.
Yeah, and so these are people that are longing for the freedom that their parents and their grandparents still remember.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a phone call as we head into what'll be our final segment, about 5 minutes. And again, we're running a special at the top of the hour that is just for those watching on social media. If you watch on ACLJ.org, even, you need to log over to Facebook.com/JSeculo or Periscope or Twitter. Special 30 minutes called The Export, to edit to down a bridge version that is actually more specific of what's going on right now, so you get a better understanding. Let's go to Chris, though, that's calling in Nevada. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi. If the Iranian government were to fall, what other Islamic countries may follow suit?
Good question, because Harry, you and Andy can speak more to this than I can. One of the distinctions about Iran, the ancient Persia, and they are quick to point this out, they are not an Arab nation. They are Persians, and they are largely Islamic, but they're not Arabs, right?
That's right. That's not ethnically. Go ahead, Harry. I'm sorry.
Well, to answer the caller's question, I would suggest that if the current Iranian regime falls, this will put pressure on the Syrian government.
Yes. Yes.
And it may also put some pressure on the government in Iraq, because it's a Shiite majority government, and it's a somewhat fractured country. But clearly, Syria would be in the crosshairs, and potentially even Lebanon. It might help stabilize things in Yemen. There's a civil war going on in Yemen. Essentially, Iran is prosecuting a proxy war in Yemen in order to advance the Shiite cause. So clearly, if the Iranian government falls, this has major implications throughout the Middle East.
Yeah, the ripple effect will continue on, and we'll keep hearing that, keep seeing that as it moves to the Middle East. And with this situation, that's why people call and say, why we even need to be voicing our opinion on this. And some people have asked, how are we going to get involved? This is not, Wes, a boots on the ground situation. We're not sending people. This is not that kind of situation in Iran. This is not what's needed.
No, not at all. And we're certainly not calling for that. We're calling for the people to be allowed to choose and to be able to demonstrate and to speak without fear of being killed or imprisoned forever.
Right.
Keep in mind also that up until the Shah fell in 1979, Iran was a chief ally of the United States, along with Israel, in the Middle East, much like Saudi Arabia is today, and to a certain extent Jordan. That's how Iran was before the Ayatollahs took over and tried to take them back to the 7th century.
Right. And we're seeing even the chants in the street that they don't want an Islamic republic You know, this is not just chance of we need food, we need water. They know where they came from and where this nation can return to. And who knows? It's like you said, they were in a monarchy before this. That may not be where this goes, but all they know is this is not working and this is destroying these people. And we need to be there and support. I mean, that's, if you look at our plan, the fifth and the final tag is consistent with the notion of universal human rights. The new Persian regime must respect the rights of its people to be free from terror imposed by members of government. Government-controlled terror that is permeating and destroying the nation. You know, and this is not one of those situations where you look at it and go, look at this nation that has built itself on evil, but they're this lavish, you know, group that everyone is doing great. This is not that situation. This is an impoverished people dealing with horrible situations. We do have a call that I want to take in the next segment. Joseph, if you're listening, stay on hold. You will be the first thing we do when we come back from the segment. We have other calls as well. But if you want to call in, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard. We've said this before, and maybe, Andy, you can take this. Now that we have a policy statement regarding Iran, what do we do with it?
Well, what we do is we implement it by calling on people to support it, to support their president, particularly President Trump's declaration that he supports what is happening in Iran. We see that the bipartisan consensus in the United States, which is apparently growing because Senator Cardin, who's a ranking member of the Foreign Relations Committee, who I heard recently speak in Washington, who was very eloquent and very good in what he said. I was very impressed with a Democrat from Maryland speaking the way he did, right. I must say. I can predict that the president, in my opinion, is not going to recertify the Iran deal
when it comes up.
I think that's a safe thing to say. I can't imagine that President Trump would recertify that deal. So, in other words, do the things that we have got to do to support this. Support Nikki Haley in her statements at the United Nations. And as we said, we don't have to tell the Iranians how to form a government. They need to tell us how to form a government. They formed governments before we even existed in the United States and in the West. What we need to do is give them back their heritage and take away from them this Islamic fundamentalist rule.
Yeah, but Celia said on Facebook, I pray the people of Iran win this time. I think that's what we all pray for, support these people, pray for the people of Iran. Like I said, these are not protests where you go out in the streets and everything's fine. This is you go out in the streets and you're risking your life, you're risking your family's life for the next generation of the Iranian people. And a lot of comments like that are coming in. If you want your voice heard, 1-800-684-3110. Next segment, we're taking a bunch of calls going through this one more time. And then after that, if you're watching on social media, exclusive 30-minute presentation of The Export, which will deal specifically with this issue in Iran. You're not going to want to miss that. That is going to, again, be on Facebook and Periscope and Twitter at Jay Sekulow. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion,
The ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Again, this is Logan Sekulow. I wanted to start with a statement from Nikki Haley, actually. It's bite number two, and then I want you to hear what actually is coming from the Counselor and Communications Director of Iran to the UN. So first, let's hear from Nikki Haley.
It takes great bravery for the Iranian people to use the power of their voice against their government, especially when their government has a long history of murdering its own people who dare to speak the truth. So we applaud the tremendous courage of the Iranian people.
So that is a comment coming from Nikki Haley. Then we get an almost response to that, not an almost response, a response that via Twitter from the counselor and communications director from the Iranian mission to the UN. And he said, the world will not believe these nauseating crocodile tears from Haley and other U.S. officials on Iran. And again, that is what's coming pretty much from the government of Iran. Now, I don't know what they think we're not seeing. You're seeing people in the streets. You're seeing the visuals here. You're hearing from, why would we stick our necks out for just the heck of it? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. But you're having to deal with now their own political crisis as they're seeing this regime, you know, hopefully, you know, it's weird to say that, but hopefully tumble. And it's a very interesting time in the Middle East. We got a lot of great calls. Let's go ahead and take Joseph in New York, who I believe can speak to this a little bit as well. Joseph, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Thank you for holding.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for taking my call. It's as an Iranian American, these days and moments are like we having wings. We can fly. You know, it's very jubilant times. This is a dream for any Iranian right now. Breathing, it's unbelievable. It's too surreal that we actually are in the news. That they're talking about us and they're telling the world what we're actually thinking for 40 years. 40 years. This is not something that we just came up with, a slogan of death to Gaza or Lebanon or Hezbollah or this and that. We've been saying this for 40 years.
Just finally.
Nobody listens. Nobody listens. The money that comes from Iran is so strong that it will suppress any voice. 40 years they have been controlling the U.S. policies towards Iran by their agents in the U.S. A major one of them, the mouthpieces of this regime in America, has been controlling the White House for minimum 8 years, minimum. NIAC, Iranian Americans despise this company, this organization, which calls itself Iranian American Organization, but they work to take the sanctions of the Islamic ISIS, the Shia ISIS of Iran. But they try to protect them by influencing here, and nobody has been standing up to them. Congressmen have been shaking their hands. Senators have been shaking their hands, giving them a speech, giving them a room to speech, to give a speech to Americans.
Thank you, Joseph, for calling in and with your powerful statements. If you're listening, Joseph, again, I appreciate calling in. You're hearing it from people that are Iranian in nationality, and it is something that is clearly just, it's passionate. It should be. Again, what he said, which I think is something maybe we should even think about, is this isn't a new statement from the people of Iran. They're just finally fed up with it to the point where they are making the world listen. Because, like he said, when it comes to the way America has even treated this situation in Iran, has not been the best of times.
No, it really hasn't. And we need to keep the people of Iran in our prayers.
Absolutely.
Because they are desperate and they are courageous. But this is something, as we alluded to during one of the breaks, the revolution to depose the monarchy, the Shah, was hijacked by radical Islamists and by the original Ayatollah Khomeini. And it turned on the people. This is not what the people wanted. And so now they are trying to throw this burden off of their shoulders, and to have truly, you know, a population where the people have a voice and a vote, where there's the rule of law. And I applaud them for doing this.
Absolutely. Certainly should pray for them. Harry.
Logan, I would say that for too long, the authentic voices of Iranians have been suppressed, and they've been suppressed in both Iran and in the United States. So in the United States, instead of listening to truly authentic Iranians, we have been listening to people like Susan Rice, Ben Rhodes, Hillary Clinton, the so-called experts, the so-called arms control sophisticates, and they've all been deadly wrong. They have believed an illusion that there is really a distinction between the moderates and the hardliners in Iran. That is untrue, and the Iranian people are showing why it's untrue.
And our caller who just called in, he said it's a jubilant time. This is a time where they are genuinely excited. I think that does draw back any, when we're talking about sort of the feelings that were happening during the revolution in France, the feelings that were happening even in the American Revolution, where, yes, it was a time of extreme stress and time of extreme, but people could feel that change was coming.
Well, whatever Joseph said, I fully endorse, because he speaks from the heritage that he is carrying with him in the United States today from the ancient Persian Empire. He says, we have wings, we can fly, we're jubilant. We've been thinking about these things and saying these things for 40 years, and we have been suppressed by a pro-Iranian coalition or whatever they are, businesses who have controlled the White House for the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. And that's the Obama administration speaking from the elites. As Harry pointed out, we've been listening to elites who've been telling us that this is the best thing to do for the Iranians. How do you know? You're not an Iranian. You're not a Persian. You don't come from that heritage. You don't come from that background. This is a grassroots or organic movement that has got to succeed. We pray that it succeeds, and we should do what we can in our voices to see that it succeeds.
In the last few weeks, we have seen extreme change in the way the Middle East is perceived, whether that is in Iran, whether that is Israel, in the situation where the president has come out and said, you know, we're making Jerusalem the capital. These are changes in the Middle East and things that happened that I would never have expected to happen a few years ago. These are what he said. They have wings, they're flying. These were almost pipe dreams that are now potentially coming true. And we will take the last call of the day. Mike, I appreciate you holding. Mike, you're on the air in North Carolina.
Thank you guys for what you do. It's kind of a statement and a question. I just can't understand how is historians going to unpack the Obama administration's legacy, is what we call it, on Obamacare and the Iran deal. How can that be? How can you be proud of that legacy? Or why would you want that legacy when it's completely destroyed?
Well, Mike, I think that's the question, is when we see just quickly a few years later things unraveling and the changes occurring. And hey, you know, God has a plan for all of this. Maybe it was we had to get to that point for the people to finally say enough and to rise up. And maybe that's where we're at. So pray for the people of Iran. Continue to support. Again, we have our plan and it's a really easy read. You can find it on ACLJ.org and all our social media. It's a pretty much a 5-point plan. And it's really worth taking a look at. It's at aclj.org. I want to appreciate everyone who listened in today. Again, if you're watching online, we have a 30-minute presentation following this. And if you're not, log on over to facebook.com/jseculo, Periscope, or Twitter @jseculo, and share it with your friends, because the next 30 minutes is essentially a 30-minute documentary specifically about the situation that's going on in the Middle East and Iran. And we think you're really going to be enlightened by it in some ways, what's happening. It's a great watch, so make sure you tune into that. Thank you so much for listening to Jay Sekulow Live today. Follow us on all social medias @JaySekulow, Jordan Sekulow, Logan Sekulow, ACLJ. Like us on Facebook and also subscribe to the Jay Sekulow podcast and download the ACLJ app. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255.
989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.